Yeah.
Oh, we got a flag and a culture and a dialect. I'm seeing that. I can't help it. Oh, someone comes along, like the brother said, honestly. Somebody's blowing up what took place in the nation's arms, right? Some people are already in it, bucket deep. How they gonna get out now? Well, they went around their family and said, listen, you may not get no pork, because all black Muhammad is the message, and that's from Muhammad's star. The whole family thought, that's what grandma thought about Jesus was born. Grandma. I got all this dialogue going, and now someone says, you're wrong. What do I do with that? Okay, go back to all my brothers and say, first, you know, niggas don't apologize. But I gotta go back and say, I was wrong by everything I said to you. We don't do that. We say, I knew it all the time. I was just with him. I knew there was something a little greater coming. I just walked alongside him for a while. That's the stuff we do. Now that it comes down, the Santa Claus is the same one told me the other day. Instead of saying we did things, they say, everything I was taught, I feel is wrong. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It means I feel it's wrong. It doesn't mean the honorable Elijah Muhammad is wrong. It don't seem right to me. And hope that someone don't say, reclaim yourself. Something he never did anyway. He only did the time of election. He never really explained himself. If he had taken the time to explain himself to his career, he would have been better understood. But when you have a doctrine that doesn't explain itself, like, believe. Believe me. I don't want to believe you. I want to know. We're going to have faith then. I don't want any faith. I want some facts. I want some confirmation, some conviction, some realities. I had enough of that crap. Well, what happens to the fiber of the system when people start to question? If it's not founded on any firm principles, it starts to fall apart. And believe you, I'm going to tell you, the worst thing the white man could ever did was to put a computer in the black man's hand. Because he took illiterate people and made them literate. So Christians say, that's what Jesus meant when he told me to meet the dumbfound of wise. That's a good verse for you to work with. They ain't got no sense to use it, though. I would have said, if I was Christian, that's what God meant. You will bring the computer and make them meet the dumbfound. I wanted to see right now, find things about Hebrew and all the languages and just all the things called Novus Bible and lexicon, just break down words and see how things, that's not the way you've been saying it was when I had the King James Version when I was taught the word. And I don't feel good about it. I want you to come back on the air and straighten this mess up. Who? Who do I ask you? The Pope? Who do I ask to straighten the mess up? I know when it comes to Egyptology, I know who y'all ask. Me. And my job is to sit here and address these things. Where's the other guy? I'm addressing questions for Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and I can't ask nobody questions. And I got some, I guess you know I got some questions. I have 350 questions to ask anybody who wants some trouble, and some people I haven't met yet. I got some questions to ask. You know, niggas can always ask questions. You hear me? Because they can't stand it. That's a sign for us in this day and time. A sign for us to put it all behind us and move. Like I said earlier over there, we can find ourselves, our faces on the wall in Egypt, lips, nose, eyes, and hair question. Right on down to our pot bellies, our not knees, our women with big hips and thin calves. All that's on the wall in Egypt, sisters. We see it. Adam knows how to do all the shame. It's on the wall in Egypt, and if that's what the Egyptian woman looks like, then hell, y'all beautiful love, because that's who we are. We gotta stop chasing a little bit tweaking with a little frail white girl with nothing. If that's what it's about, we gonna have to accept it because what? You with me? And we gotta move to this new millennium. I want to talk to you about me bringing my kids here. Because I'm
But my mother brought me here for Sunday school, and I didn't realize they were saying Egyptian God's son. At the end of every prayer, we said, and I didn't know we were talking about the God Amun-Ra. I didn't realize it. I was dumbfounded. I was brainwashed. And when I said Jesus is right early morning star, I didn't say, that's the son. Jesus walks the water. The son walks the water every morning. And comes up the light, walks the water. They're short. I couldn't see all that. I couldn't see the mystical meaning of the Bible. But I was blinded by the light. Right? That light hit me in my face. And I couldn't see. See, the Freemasons and them give you this about when you get in the lodge and it's dark, when they take the blindfold off, now you can see. That's not true. If I blindfold you and take you into a lit room, when I pull the blindfold off, it takes time for your eyes to adjust to that room. You are still blind and at my mercy. You hear me? But what they're really telling us is that we are not tunnel beings. You do know that, right? And if we get into a black room, pitch black, it takes a little while for our eyes to adjust. Where does the light come from, brother? Where does it come from? I'm all the way back over there. You know our beats, right? You'll think I forgot about someone way over there. Where does it come from? If I walk into all black room, after a while I begin to see inside, the light came on somewhere.
People ask me every day, what do I do to look the way that I do? When I tell them it's 99% diet, they usually give me some kind of weird look.
Where did I come on at? Right inside here, in the soul. The soul, the word soul in Latin is sun. The light comes on inside and gives me the ability to see in dark, and that's what makes a nocturnal creature. But they can pull light out of darkness and see it. Caucasians can't do it. You follow? And that's why they make you sleep with the light on. They always sleep with the light on. Islam teaches that, Christianity, don't never sleep in the dark. You know why? Because you'll learn to face yourself. You know the bad thing about facing yourself? Sometimes you scare the hell out of you. Now you know you went in the room by yourself. And you know you shut the door behind you. Right? Ain't nobody in the room but you and you. All of a sudden, you lay there saying something. I can feel something watching you. You ever get that feeling? You look at the coat on the wall, on the door, and it's your coat. You hung the coat there, and all of a sudden the coat becomes a man looking at you like this. The man with you. Man, you know what that is? That's the devil inside you trying to get out and attack you. Ain't nobody in the room but you, God. And if there's a you, God, there's also a you, devil, there. So you know we're just as good as we are bad. Anybody walk around saying, holy, got a lot of holes in their stuff. Ain't no preacher, teacher, no, the Pope is speaking. Believe me. If you're a mortal, you have mistakes. And any man who thinks he doesn't have mistakes, don't trust him. One of the models I've been teaching on for years, and I'll say it again today, and I'll enumerate them. Don't believe me. Check it out. And I just ask every preacher, every teacher, make that same declaration. Don't believe them. Don't believe nothing I'm saying. Say, that nigga crazy. That's what you say. He's nuts. I ain't believing it. He said, I'm going to check it out. Check it out. Investigate it. Scrutinize it. I've been around Jesus since 1970, been being asked questions every week for then, and I've never yet had a problem with it. I don't care where they come from or what their doctrine is and how heavy they think they are, I'll walk with them. Some of y'all are right here with me doing it. And I've been saying the same thing, don't believe what I say, check it out. But also say that to them. Don't just do it to me. Go to the shrine of Black Madonna, let me ask you a question. Why shrine? That word right there, why shrine? You know what shrine is. Why that? Why the Black Madonna? You say, why Black? And why Madonna?
I'm not the one to sing over there. Y'all say, y'all niggas. I ain't talking about Madonna, sorry, bro. I'm talking about, you know, the whole court of Madonna puts us back into the Roman doctrine of Christianity. And a blessed Mother Mary. A Mary, the Mother of God. God is all powerful and almighty, got a mother. God was born. I mean, God was born in a manger. God was passing through the cavity or the channel of a woman. God came out and had a cord that had to be cut. Then God had to have the liquid that's in his lungs pumped out, otherwise God would have drowned the moment he was born. God was dependent. Can God ever be dependent and be God? Can God be born and be God? You see what they've done to us? Can God have a mother? And the mother perceived God? The mother was there first. If she gave birth to God. Are you with me? So the mother was there first, and the mother is, Mary was God. Jesus was the Son of God. Ain't that what they said? But Mary was God. Now you say, wait a minute, man, that sounds kind of crazy. Of course it sounds crazy when you are under a belief system. But when you start analyzing the facts, let's do a little scientific thing. All right. Jesus, all you who walk with me, yeah, you know where I'm going. Jesus was a little girl child, right? No, Jesus was a boy child. That means Jesus had an X and Y chromosome, right? Yeah. Like all other men on the planet. If Jesus was a man, and you knew he was a man, he got circumcised on the 8th day. That helps us to know you. You know what that means if women don't. Some of us even remember. So Jesus, according to the Bible, was circumcised on the 8th day. That's established that Jesus was a man. He belonged to the male gender. And that means Jesus had an X and Y from me. All right. Now, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Is that fact? That's what the Bible teaches us. That's true. And women, female gender, only have 2X, no Y chromosome. Correct? Mary was by herself. When the angel Gabriel came to her and said, Hail Mary, full of grace, thou hast chosen of all the women in the world. You are about to conceive, right, of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God, and you should call his name Emmanuel, meaning God be with us, oh God is it. Ain't that what the Bible says? Now I have a problem. All that sounds good, some nice stories, good for prayer, good for that kind of thing. When I come down to the scientific part of this thing, then I have a problem. You know what I mean? The problem is, where did the Y chromosome come from? Now the angel Gabriel came. We know Gabriel is a man. The book of Daniel said Gabriel is a man. That's Gabriel. We know Gabriel's token. For those who know what I mean. For those who don't, Gabriel had semen if he was a man. And in Gabriel's semen, there had to be a Y chromosome. I'm not saying Gabriel didn't even marry yet. I ain't saying he did either. I ain't saying. I want to get all the way to get this thing in place first so we'll find out if it makes any sense. You with me? So here we got Mary, a woman, 2X chromosomes. No Y. Angel comes to Mary and tells her she's going to give birth to a son. He's predicting there's going to be a Y chromosome there. Mary ends up pregnant. Joseph didn't do it. Joseph came home with a Y chromosome, but Joseph was broken. We know that because he had other children. And Joseph wanted to know, Mary, you know what? I'm pregnant. Stop. Let's get away from the religion and the crap and get to reality. Mary's pregnant. Now, the point that she's pregnant, he has no idea of knowing whether it's a male or female child.
Soaring prices, mass shortages. What's next? Hi, I'm Chris.
Correct. You don't know yet until the baby's born. So now we got 9 months to figure this thing out. Correct? There ain't nothing deep about it because this same guy gave him, he gets around him. Gabriel also visited Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, a couple of months earlier, and visited her. And her husband, Zachariah, a priest, was saying, I ain't got it up in me. I ain't had a resurrection or erection in years. I can't have no baby. So I mean, like, he's asking Elizabeth, how you get pregnant? This is a real, let's forget all the religious crap and get down to it. It was you when you came home and your wife said, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to talk to the Holy, what's his first name, Holy? Like Holyfield, or like his last name, Ghost? Well, I want to talk to him. Holy, you just came about a Holy, what? That's a ghost, he'll meet the ghost up in his home. Y'all don't come up where that baby came from. Don't run that crap like you would say, oh, darling, that is so wonderful. You was in your room or your tent by yourself, and a light came down, and it overpowered you, and now you're pregnant. Baby, that's beautiful. We're going to walk through this thing together. Bull crap. Give me like raising hands, throwing sandals around, and tipping over pregnant sex. Joseph, in his mind, could not imagine how Mary could have got pregnant and he wasn't there. Well, I'm trying to figure out if she got pregnant when he wasn't there. Well, somebody was in there with a Y chromosome. Scientific fact versus religious bullcrap that we've been indoctrinated with by the slave master. Who gave us the same religion that he enslaved us with. Same bullcrap. To make us turn the other cheek. So he can keep slapping us. So he can keep me and you on the bottom of the totem pole. He keeps making us worship his image and his likeness. Image of me. I ain't going to fall. But I still want to know where in the wire I come from. I know if I was Joseph, I'd be mad as all hell. You would not be able to tell me that no light came in the house and you got pregnant. Would you, Buzz? All the religion in the world won't support that in my mind. But when Jesus was born in the manger, we're doing a Christmas thing. And wise men knew about it. Everybody knew about it.
Pharaoh boy. Is that what happens? After she cheated like women always do. After
did you see it? Oh. On the barrel, the potato right there. The barrel was born there. The door opened, the nigga said, right there. You saw that? The nigga down there showing up Pete Walk. I was like, they're literally telling you that the soldiers or the royal guards of Amun Ra were the niggas. Hello. But they saturated the movie with Caucasians, pretending they're us. And then they give us fictitious creatures. Hercules. Now Hercules got a girlfriend, I forgot her name. What's her name? Later, he's the last letter to Greek alphabet. I thought I got away, back to the Y chromosome. Just a little bit of time. When Jesus was born, and the wise men came, a boy baby was there. Where did the Y chromosome come from? Scientists. Cut the crap. The hell with the reverend, the pastors, and the rabbis and all that bullshit. Go to your mind, go to your computer, and study chromosomes. Where did it come from? Explain it, Reverend. What can you do? And they'll call you all kind of names, blasphemous. They'll call us a suicide cult. White people commit suicide. You can't even beat a nigga to death. Did you see the Rodney King thing? Rodney King was hanging on the light like you would never beat that nigga for 3 hours. White person in one time, oh, God, pooped out. We're a suicide cult because we don't conform to that bull no more. Because I want my children to see themselves as something great. All my children I call Prince something or Princess. That's their first names. My son's name is Amun, he's called Prince Amun. If my daughter's name is, let's say, Isis, she's called Princess Isis. I put it in their mind. I don't put that on their birth certificate. I put that in their mind, on their birth certificate. Not on a piece of paper, but on a piece of heart. I teach my children who want to be nerds. You teach your children who want to be hip. I teach my children to be proud to be nerds. But now when their birthday come around, ask them what they want. You know what they say? A book. I want a book. Give me some books, Bob. They don't want no guns. That don't mean they don't play with guns. I made a mistake and gave them some water guns. When they shot me, they go play with them and you give it to them. Ain't no doubt about it. Because that's on television. You follow? You got to put something different in your children's head than that you're giving us. Because whatever it is, it has not been working for us. It works for them. But it don't work for me and you. You wouldn't. The system he got set up, his education system, is working for them. But there's more of them doing that than us. More of them controlling things than us. So we got to come up with a system or something that works for us. And that thing that works for us is first self-identity. Who the hell am I? I need some roots to grow. I ain't got no roots to hear in America.
An urgent message. To anyone with type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes, this discovery could save your life. Top doctor from Arizona has discovered the real root cause of high blood sugar, and it has nothing to do with eating carbs or sugar, or even genetics. But in
And now, listen to the Supreme Grand Master, Naya Malachi Zobuk L.
Every time the world reaches a point of consciousness, spiritual consciousness, they have to come up with some type of tactic to make you go, whoa. Okay. The hip-hop generation stepped in, popped out this doctrine, this philosophy, this music, and it frightened everybody. Right. It frightened everybody, including them. But out of that chaos is coming a certain amount of awareness. Right. These kids are now starting to talk about the conditions. It's taking place. The death of Tupac
is a symbol to him. Mm-hmm. You follow? You're starting to realize this, some of you people are taking this business a little too serious. The whole hip hop thing is a business. We're making money. We're playing games. We're not real games. You want to meet the real gangsters, go to Sicily. You mean real gangsters? Yeah.
Right.
Don't think they're real gangsters. I know guys don't think they're real gangsters out there. So now we're in our hands from a couple of kids, a couple of fathers, a couple of sons, a couple of brothers have lost their lives. And it's gotten quiet. But there's an awareness amongst all of them. This new doctrine is able to get these kids to stop killing each other. Because when we meet here on stage today, if you're here for 4 days, you're going to see all of who's here. Who's that would normally be rivaling against each other. They would hate each other. For no reason other than they wear a different color head rag, I think they say. Or one does this. Which is not my reptilian symbol. And the other's doing this. I don't know what they're doing. See that? But they'll all be here on stage today. Together, as a family. So somebody said, "See them Milwaukee people there? Yeah. They don't drink. Wait, I take that back. We do drink. We drink watermelon soda, you know, wine, beer. But we don't get drunk. Correct? We don't smoke any kind of drugs. Any kind of drugs. You understand that? We're not polygamous." We're not Muslim, we don't have hundreds of wives. If you still have hundreds of wives and the next hand's off, you gotta cut it out. We're not having it anymore. And I say, if men can have more than one wife, then women can have more than one husband. No more. You follow me there? No more women walking behind men, shut up and you shut up. When the man says shut up, say why and then prepare to But stand up. It's time to stand up. This is what we see. Now, what's starting to happen is we appeal to the younger generation for some reason. The following day, we open our doors by opening my mind and heart to reach out to the 5% and say, let me take your book that you have been sitting on since 1960-something and doing nothing with, and the kids are only going from little bits of rhetoric. So they don't have a full understanding of what's in those so-called 120 or plus of them. So being you can't afford to do it, or just don't want to do it, let me put the book in one cover so every 5%, or God, they got 8 sets now. Every one of them have a copy of it. So maybe they can see that we're not that different than they are. But as long as they got a couple of fanatical leaders who want to control their congregation, this is one of our biggest problems, control of the congregation. They're afraid that their followers might come to me. Mm-hmm. If I wanted their followers to come over to me and not be 5%, I wouldn't put up a 5% flag.
Right.
I'm saying, if you're 5%, that's what you believe in. You can still be a part of the Milwaukee family. We're not getting caught up on a religious practice.
Right.
But nobody can confirm religion. Nobody. You cannot prove to me that there's a God. You can go with a whole bunch of philosophical bull crap. But they prove me, oh, I know there's a God because he created me. That's it. Evolution beats the hell out of that. Quantum physics beats the hell out of evolution and it's created. And I'm learning from them, they can't do it. And that's the problem. Because they can't do it, there's an emotional trap. The moment I can't verify or justify what I believe in, they can't want to do a dick on me. I regret that to an elephant or a gorilla or a bull. A bull. You know what I'm saying? That's why we went out there with so many questions at people. But I did not go out there with questions before I did 25 years of questioning. I did 25 years of standing up in front of people in New York City, opened the doors and said, come in and ask me anything you want to prove what I'm saying wrong. If you do, I say, I'll follow you. All I want to do is change the position. Because I see the baby. Mm-hmm. Now, man, mom's name's record was deep. Mm-hmm. And when you hear, change the world, that was deep. Now, put that record, if you pretend I that's a very heavy message. That's all I was concerned. So I did that for the 5%. You with me?
Yeah.
The subtotal comes down to most people don't know what they're talking about. The first criteria for dealing with a Muslim is do you speak Arabic?
Mm-hmm.
If not, then stop using Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't speak the language of the Quran, then give it up. The problem then, that doesn't mean you understand it, because I know many Muslims who speak Arabic and don't understand the Quran. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many Muslims back. If they all understood just by virtue of citing it from Arabic, then all of them would have the same belief. There wouldn't be so many Sunni, Shia, Ahmadiyya, Baha'i, and on and on and on. So we, as a people, are vulnerable because we're like a baby mind. And because we're riding off of, I've been abused. That's what we use, I've been abused, the white man abused me. So we're looking for any way to get even, like Gaddafi. So we like to join anything, like a channel goal. Black box. and hope that out of white people go. You know, black box, out of white people go. I mean, they're not as involved in the black power thing as you are. People on there, they don't care about, you know, black power, black, light on. That is white folks go like this. What's the big deal? But let's see what you're doing.
Right.
If you feel that the system, if you feel the system is failing you, what do you do? Are you setting up a school system? Columbus did not discover America. You can't discover something somebody's already on, first of all. Plus, he didn't come to America, he wouldn't fit it. You know what I'm saying? So when he got here, all that, we were already here for all that. Mao was long before, more. All right, so I'm not teaching that to my son. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to teach my son your life. You need those that make you feel good. I understand that. You're supposed to make yourself feel good to your kids. But because you went over to Africa and stole a large amount of us, the board here, the problem is, you have an obligation to teach us about us if you say we're free. If I'm not free, then you don't have to, then you continue to be seated. George Washington was the first president when that's just not a fact.
Come on.
There were 16 presidents before George, and 9 of them were black. The man who put George Washington in office, his name is John Hanson. Look it up. And it'll tell you right in your dictionary, John Hanson, a black president. A Moore.
Give me the
name, bro. I'll give you. I'm writing a book on it.
Oh,
okay. Well, it's not mystical. You can go to any computer and bring up John Hanson, and he'll tell you about one of 9 black presidents. And he'll give you Native Americans. And he'll also give you Frenchmen who came over here and married Washita women, a black tribe. And had children, and those children were governors. There's a woman right now, recognized by the President of the United States as an immigrant. Recognized as the real owner by deed of the land from Louisiana to Canada. Recognized right now. They ain't talking about her. They killed her husband. They killed her father. They killed all her children. But she worked her way up, right, and went and got the, and retrieved the record. Went all the way to France and traced the record down to deed and can trace her descendants 5 generations back. And prove it, and the government, the President of the United States, has issued her the right to be a separate country in this country right now. She has her own license, her own driver's license. They don't have to pay any tax. And it's not exclusively for blacks. Don't start fighting, we'll start all over the nation. It's for anybody who is willing to join in for that land. And it's going on right now. Sheikh Daoud, a Moroccan, a Moor, who I studied under.
Correct?
Also got the same right in the Emancipation Proclamation to claim all those who followed him in his thing called the Islamic Mission of America, right out of car years ago, as Moors, but not subject to biblical law, because George Washington, in a letter to the Sultan of Morocco, said, I know there are some Moors that have mixed in with the slaves. And all of them that want to claim sovereignty is free and sovereign, not as slaves. You understand that?
Yes.
You have in America about a 14% slave. The rest are not slaves.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of you have been trying to find out why your hair is not all together natural, and why your nose is a little too long, and your eyes might be a little too slanted. Not doesn't do melanin color. Wondering why you don't look like anybody you've ever seen in any of the parts of Africa. It's simply because you're not an African. You're an indigenous person from one of the Native American tribes here. You follow what I'm saying? You belong to the Shoshone, or the Iroquois, the Washita, the Tunis, the original Cherokee, the Trail of Tears. You were on 75% of the Trail of Tears. You. This is a fact. This is documented. And believe me, you know if I tell you about it, I'm going to put it in a book. And I'm going to play that crap. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're wondering why you don't feel so African, it's because you're not an African. Remember, the word Africa is an insult.
Yeah.
Our land extended all the way from California down to Chile, all the way over to the Persian Gulf.
Mm.
Nod was on the other side of the Persian Gulf, the land of Nod, where the so-called character in the Bible came was afraid to go outside of our land, the land of Moab. And told his father, I'm afraid in your Bible, what are they going to do? Those who find me out there are going to kill me, even in your Bible, in Genesis. If Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were the only four people on the planet 4,004 years ago by Jehovah's Witness and 6,000 years ago by Muslims, if they were the only people on the planet and Cain killed Abel, leaving Adam, Eve, and then who was Cain telling his father he was afraid he was going to kill him when he got to the land of God? Who was he talking about? There was nobody on the planet. No, the whole world to us was that land. North America was called Atlantis. South America was called Mexico. And Africa was called Sudan, where they get the word Aswan. The illusion which causes confusion is to tell people that they're not black, don't use the title black. When in actuality, when you translate the word more or else, you get the word black. When you translate the word push, you get the word black. When you translate even the word Ethiopia from Egyptos, you get burnt face and Egypt. When you take the word Ham and translate it Ham, you get the word black. Midline, who moved into Egypt, a descendant from Noah, from Ham, black. But in the records that were kept in Latin, we have another word for black. Negative. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 of your Bible has the word nigger. Acts 13:1, write it down. Don't believe me. Nigger. It says nigger, and it means black. 13:1. You got a Bible open to read it. In ancient Latin language, where all the history was being recorded, nigger was identified with the color. Moreno was the state. They had to stop calling you Moreno because he identified with that state that God was in before life. But the word Negra only dealt with the color of this bush of feathers and did not deal with supreme balance. So as you trace your story in his story, you will find the word more in Maurice. Saint Maurice. You ever heard of Saint Maurice? or more, who refused to murder Germans. So the Irish declared him a saint when he wasn't even Catholic. Constitution of the country. You know what it was? The Iroquois. Because the Iroquois gave the Constitution to whom? Thomas Paine, who then rewrote it. And then they took it and changed it and took from 13 to 20 out and threw it away. And then added 20 little words, never had it signed. And if you go sneak out from 13 to 20 of the Constitution, what you can find, the one that was signed, you find out it says, no more can be held slave. No more. And then it says, who are more? The indigenous people of this land. Dark people, they say, the women. They took it out and by the height, but Philadelphia kept it on record. Say, this is why they got to come up with a tale about those guys are involved in this stuff. There's this cult thing with this, and he can tell them about extraterrestrials coming. We better go out there and try to stop that. They're not interested in my belief in extraterrestrials. They believe more than I do in extraterrestrials. I don't spend $20-something million making independent day. Give me $20-something, give me $20 million if I make a movie about blowing up the White House. They should go to the person. Go to the person who made the movie Independence Day and ask them, why do you want to blow up the White House? Because whoever conceived the author, the story, conceived the thought. They should be saying this fool, why would you make a movie? Don't we have enough problem with dumb arrows are made without you putting more thoughts in the air to make it look possible and show them how to do it? And if you're into our computers, and you can reverse our computers and use them against us, and anybody knows what hackers are. So they should be getting to the man who wrote the movie and sit down with him, the psychiatrist, and say, why do you want to blow up the White House? Well, it's only a movie. Start again. Why do you want to kill the president? You know what I'm saying? Well, don't know. Until we start, yes, you know, anybody who spends millions of dollars making a movie about nothing, especially if there's not a market for it yet. And they don't know if there was going to be a good market. It happened to be a good market. But they didn't know that when they invested in it. So they believe more in UFOs than I do. And Miz is coming right behind, thank you. Men in Black. Which is supposed to be left over from Hitler's Secret Service group. There was a group called Miz, Dressed in Black. Hitler's Secret Service group from Anarchy. When America went over there and got beat up, people don't know this. It's a long story. You understand what I mean? I'm not just, I'm saying, why they gonna kill me? I'm just Jamaican. You understand why they don't like me? They don't like me because I'm telling y'all where to go find facts. Mm. Now, when you get a certain amount of consciousness, you don't need racism no more. Mm. You don't have to look at people and say, I don't like you because the light is in me. You can see that the Most High, God, Allah, didn't plan for that to happen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made that borderline so thin between us. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we should all go out and marry. But if Caucasian people marry black people on a large scale, that is the end of their race. That's not racism. That's fact. I'm not supporting the KKK concept of separation by history. That's what I mean. I mean that if we are to stay as beautiful of a garden as we are, we're going to regard it to all kinds of flowers, then you better stop this cross breed. But if you keep cross breed, the only people going to be left on the planet are us. But we were there before like that. Either. Even if you say we were Muslims, we still were here. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line, we were there with monkeys out. They monkeys, but we were here. Monkeys there. And it's important that you don't destroy race of people. Because every living thing is a part of the chain of life. We all play a part in it. And as species die, ecology changes. And man is Gaia. Gaia, Mother Nature, is angry with us. Very angry. Flood, tornado, earthquake, hurricane. Mother Nature, or God, or whatever you want to say, is angry with humanity for the stupid things we do to each other and her. You follow that? Our lack of communication with her. Our refusal to link ourselves back in as a part of the soil and the earth. Mother Nature's mad. And food is going bad. And people's minds are going bad. We're in a bad state today. So of course, they don't need what happens every 25,000 years one of us is born. The Hindus call us avatars. I was really referring to it as an Amanubi avatar. The word Aman means that you're a priest of rock, a sun person, coming in as a sun cycle for the apple. Amanubi avatar, as they say, as Amanubi avatar. We are born, you follow that? To rectify, to re-enlighten you. The alignment comes when we come. The planet shifts when we come. They know that we're here. Oh, that's the balance. Evil and good is balance. You cannot have a world of all good. Because it will conceive evil in another form. Evil will become anyone who disagrees or uncooperative. You follow that? Defect would be evil. Name would be evil. Blindness would be evil. If all was supposed to be good. But it's not. It's supposed to be bad. And religion teaches everything got to be good. And it creates an imbalance in the universe. And it's the root of all the hate and racism and war and separation and destroying everything. And when that happens, it's a time for your history to be renewed. And it's time for you to become aware of the divine in you. You follow? An awakening takes place that you are one of God. That Ra sent Osiris to this planet and his wife Isis to this planet. And they lived here amongst the nature or amongst nature in harmony. And then he sent Seth. And Seth was Osiris' brother. And Seth was jealous of Osiris and Isis. And wanted Isis or Uset for himself. So he put on a big banquet at the party of Osiris or Osir. And he made a beautiful sarcophagus made to fit the size of Osiris only. And he had his men, his warriors, which they call fallen angels, came with him, get and said, "Pop the sarcophagus, I want to see if it fits my loving brother." You follow? And he put him in the sarcophagus and he sealed it. And he took him out, set him into 14. These are not true stories. These are metaphors. These are folk tales of actual influence. See, when you go back to the forest and you say, well, where did Ra come from? They'll say, from the primal egg, the black egg. The black egg is represented by the black god. The black god is represented by a soul. They say three principles to soul in ancient Egypt. The Ka, the Ba, and the Ar. And those three principles are the principles of the universe, person, places, and things. The only time person, places, and things cross is when a divine principle steps in. And when human beings, who, men, Ra, the God, who, the creative force of will, the God Men in ancient Egypt, always comes back as Ra. And when, who, men, becomes conscious of the God, then the principle of persons, places, and things are broken by the principle now and then. When then becomes now, and then becomes now. When a people or a being completes his growth or his evolution from what he is supposed to be to what he is, then he is reached the point of now. You with me? If he looks at his past and everything that brought him to now, he will look over his left shoulder and see it as then. If he intends to perfect the dot now, then from here on there'll be no more changes. Acquisition, inquisitiveness are gone. I now know. So the next thing is always going to be the same as right now. I don't want to sound too confused. As I come to life and I hear the whole witness, that was back then. And they talk to me about God and Jesus Christ and the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I'm very interested. And I sit down with some Jehovah's Witnesses. They come in my house and I'm convinced this is the truth. You problem? Right now, I'm convinced. However, if I walk a little further and I run into a Seventh-day Adventist, and they say, well, the Jehovah's Witness got a lot of truth. However, they forget about the Shabbat, they don't need pork and so. And I can show you the Bible that there's only pork and keep the Shabbat and stuff. What was then important to me is no longer important to me now. I now have a new now. Do we ever reach the end of now?
No.
Wrong. We do reach the end of now. When now, then, and then stops. Because there are no more Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh Day Adventists or Blackness or whatever to change my life. I now know. And you can never change me. I'm not going to be converted to nothing else. I now know. I'm going to call it a kind of awareness because I did the research. I wasn't indoctrinated. I was brainwashed. But brainwashed is one of those games or play on words to make you think that it's wrong to be brainwashed. But if I was a smoker and a drinker and a druggie and I had all in my brain, I wish you would wash my brain so I could get a cleaner brain. This is where evil is made look good and good is made look evil when they take words and they took them and say, you are brainwashed. Because if I wash this shirt, you get clean. If I wash my brain, all that garbage you taught me is gone in. And once I'm in the state of now, because I have done my own research and I have confirmed everything and I know there's nothing coming up. In other words, I have found myself. I'm comfortable with what I am. My biggest fear and problem is how much I intimidate others because I appear to be so content with what I am. They seem to be bothered. They say, well, I'm a Nawapian. Yes. The person believes in sound, right, reason. What do you mean by that? We believe that you shouldn't believe, you should investigate. You believe that you must believe to get through the pearly gates. You follow that? We don't believe anything. Call me an atheist. Call me a black devil. Call me a Satanist. Call me all the things you need to keep you happy. But if you say atheist, I'm going to say atheos. I'm going to say A in Greek against Theos, or Greek deity. I'm not Greek, I'm not an atheist. Satan, Satana, Hatana, Hebrew word Satan, what does it mean? Serpent person. I'm not a serpent person. You know, those people. You and this is phonetic too. The phonetics in it. I'm not phonetic. Etymology. You know, I can play word games. Words are not games. Games are created for words. Words are not created for games. And this is called right now. It bothers people. It bothers people because just say all you're saying now is don't say anything to me that you don't intend to prove. Now, in the forum of that, I don't mean I'm not going to go play golf with tennis and have fun. We can laugh and joke and get a pop and all that and fantasize about life. That's real too in a sense. But when you start talking about my soul, heaven, hell, God, nature, universe, I'm going to ask you questions. And if you cannot answer the question, I'm just not going to accept you. In that field, not in the chessboard, you know, in the chess game, I mean, that's but if you start asking, you start talking about religion, you say, I'm Reverend whatever, and I came to teach you that Jesus is your personal savior, I'm going to say, well, okay. So, I don't want to be rude, but what does personal mean? I mean, because you. I mean, you want me to get out of the church before this is nasty, I'll leave. But if you threw it out, if you threw that and I caught it, I just want to know, what does personal mean? Does it mean mine? So do I need you to strong them for me? Okay. So they'll tell you, a reverend will tell you, think God spoke to my heart. And God told me to tell you. He said, wait, we ain't going any further, man. He didn't know God personally. He's my personal savior. Would you give him my cell phone? I wish I could talk to him myself. You know what happened?
They get mad.
They consider that disrespectful. They consider that arrogant. But because I simply want to know.
Right.
You tell me Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm saying Jesus sins I committed after he died. But I know when I was a kid, I could do all kinds of stuff to my little brother and sister, stealing stuff, giving it. Is that sin? What is the sin thing? What's the criteria for sin? Who decided? God is sitting on the book with those things of sin to stand for a story again? You know, oh, you look at gifts and those in the bag, don't get gifts. I don't need that no more. I need to become conscious of who and what I am.
Right.
If I go back to your Bible, and I go back to Genesis, and I'm reading the Bible because it's what you believe, it tells me I'm a living soul. It says I breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now, Rev, lecture me on living soul. Before we go any further about who saved you, why he came, who found you, what was in heaven, tell me about what is your knowledge of living soul. First of all, you need Hebrew, of course, because living soul is in Hebrew. So you have to give me a Hebrew reference. I can't use an English King James. He was, you know, King James wasn't Hebrew. So I mean, tell me what living soul means, but that's what God says I am. And if you can't, could you get a reference up there for him?
No.
Then I'm ready to throw an opportunity. They're going to be jealous. So, the almighty, all-powerful being in the universe, of which you are a part of, in all religions and rituals, says that all of you must know. And that the only way that we can stop the ignorance is that all of you must start asking questions. And you are going to be persecuted for righteousness.
Yeah.
They're going to revile you and say all manners of evil against you falsely. Not for my name, but for the Heavenly Father's name.
Always.
You understand me? But we have to stop going into bends. We've got to establish manners. This is what we are. And that can only be done by the retrieval of facts. By going out and using facts. Don't tell me I am an African. Or just a Native American. Which tribe of Native Americans? And where did they come from? You mean don't just give me the package. Give me the meat in the package. And if you can't, keep the package because you're only confused the wrong. And or give me the direction for which I can search the facts. That's all. And that's the day and time you're in. And because I've done my best, I read Bible. Let me translate it for you from Greek. Quran, let me translate it for you from Arabic. Torah, let me give it to you from the written Hebrew. I made sure if you got one, where I translated, I put the word next to it. So if you don't believe me, you can go to a strong, go into a dictionary and see if that's the same word. And give it to me. Just to see that, yeah, I'm not lying. But it gives you another working when you're dealing with people, and they say, well, in the Bible, you say, which Bible? King James, I'm not interested in King James, but he doesn't even give me a chance. He doesn't even have a comparison that I can check the words out. But I can investigate what he said. I'm stuck with what he said. I don't need that. I try to cover every subject, and this is why they can grab one of the subjects that I can't cover, extraterrestrials. All the extraterrestrials that I miss and try to arrive at the subject. And say, you see, he teaches about extraterrestrials. So it must be affiliated with some suicide cult in California. Make it easy. When you only give one type of knowledge, they have to pinpoint. But when you're a person like me, you try to cover everything, there's so many ways they can play that game.
None. There's no recorded history of a man named Jesus Christ. living in Jerusalem. You say, well, of course not. He was a Hebrew. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. He wasn't there either. If it was, if he was, all we ask is quite simple. Give us the proof that the man existed. You don't even know when the nigga was born. Walk up to y'all and say, when shall we God is Jesus his father? Because I'll open this Bible to St. John, and St. John will tell you the same spirit is what? Enlightens every man that cometh into the world. The God clearly says in the book of St. John chapter 1, that is the same spirit that enlightens every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, the world was not. Right there it says that if Jesus was an incarnation of God by virtue of a spiritual incarnation, that every living being here is also a Jesus. Because it says about I breathed into you, my spirit you became a living soul. God admits to have placed himself in the chest of everybody here. Now, if Jesus was a physical man, now say that, because what we get recorded about the torch story, and I say, why was he on the cross crying? Why was he on the cross suffering? Why did he seek not to be crucified? You say that was the mortal side of him. Jesus was born into this world to die on the cross for your sins that you may be saved. Is that what y'all teach? Yes or no?
No.
That means if Jesus was the Spirit of God incarnated in flesh, then he knew before he got into the body everything that would happen to him while he's in that body, wouldn't he? Yes, he would. So once he got in the body, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, wait here for me.
Yeah.
He went a little further, he fell on his face and sweated blood. He said, oh my father, if this be possible, let this come, the heck was he talking to? If he was the father, oh my father, if it be possible, let this come pass by me. Not if I will, but the God will be done. Who is God talking to? Unless God also had a God as father. And if God had a father, that makes more sense to me, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus came to lead people to the Father. He was not who we should be led to. We were supposed to be led to the Father. And Jesus defined the presence of the Father as our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be
thy name.
Thy kingdom
come.
Thy will
done.
On earth as it is
in heaven.
His will was already happened in heaven. Give us this
day.
He didn't say that Jesus for no bread. They were talking to the Father. Try it again. He didn't say, my Father. He said, pray after this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, or sacred be thy name. Right? Is that what it says in Matthew?
Yes.
And how are people getting married in the name of Jesus
when
the Father's name is sacred? How are people getting buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Father is sacred? When the kingdom that we need on earth is the kingdom that's in heaven, already ruled by the heavenly Father. Who all is? Who is Jesus? Who shifted around? And why? Why do they have you worshiping the Son and not the Father? Why do they have you marrying and getting buried and having ritual in the name of baptism, in the name of the Son, and not the Father? Why? Because you can't handle the truth. You don't want to know the real Jesus. You like Paul's fake Jesus. They had to doctor that Bible up and muster it up and change it around to hide reality. The wedding at Cana was Jesus' wedding. Say what? No, Jesus was invited there. Why? Why would Jesus be invited to somebody's wedding he didn't know?
Right.
And why is the man who got married name mentioned in the book? And why would they say Jesus saved the last wine to the end? And why would they ask Mary or tell Mary they ran out of wine? What would Mary have to do with the wedding? They walked up to Mary and said, we have no wine. You tell your son? And she went, no, Jesus. Jesus said, she looked back over their door. Tell them there. That you have more there is than wine in there. They walked over and said, oh my God, it's working. You say that was a miracle. They say in Christianity that was before Jesus' first miracle. So if it wasn't a miracle, then he must have lived in that house. Whose house was it? Mary of Magdalene's house. His wife. He had children. His mother Mary had children before Jesus was born. And then it looked like the blessed mother Mary was walking along and the Spirit jumped out of heaven on her. She had six other kids before Jesus was born. She wasn't no virgin. The prophecy of Isaiah said, a virgin shall give birth. Read the Bible, you find out that James, Joseph, Mary, and John are the children that Mary had before Jesus was born. So she wasn't no virgin. Why are they lying to you? Why don't they want you to know the truth? Because you can't handle the truth. You don't want the truth. You love living this lie. It's so convenient. But when you start pointing out the facts, people get upset. They get mad. They start calling you a blasphemer, antichrist. They got all kinds of names to call you, keep you from waking up people and showing them the truth. There is no such thing. There's no God sitting up on no throne with his all-merciful love for you. No. You need that love because your parents deserted you. But you need a parent. So you made God a loving old man and said, oh, come on. And when this God who controls nature does things that you cannot justify as merciful, you block it as if it didn't happen. We were talking about this the other day. A big windstorm took place the other day. You remember it?
Yeah.
So the nation was working. A woman and a man was walking along with their baby. The wife had the baby. This is the story. That's twice. And the wind got so heavy that the man, being the leader of the house as he feels or has been taught to believe, grabbed the baby from the wife to hold the baby. And the whirlwind snatched the baby out of the man's arm, and they have not seen the baby since. This is what I'm doing. I got it. The father, a woman's down the woman, I'm calling the baby. This is last week. Right? She hits a ditch and Wade came through the car, grabbed the baby. They have not seen the baby since. Now, who's doing that? The devil? So the devil controls the weather. When it's sunny on your picnic and y'all have a successful event, did the devil give y'all a successful event? Who controls the weather, God or the devil? Who controls the tornadoes and the earthquakes and the floods and the landslides? Who is controlling it, God or the devil? Because when you get right down to it and find out how destructive it is, you don't want to even believe that God would do such things. But you know what? It's happening every day. Who makes a child born blind? Who makes a child born without limbs? Who is responsible for Siamese twins joined at the head and sharing one brain? And the family has to decide which one of these children will live. Becomes the deciding factor between life and death on one of those children. Who controls those type of things? Who decides that if Jay is having a drive-by shooting and a man is walking with his daughter, all of a sudden, and bang, these kids are popping off these guns and a little kid. Have you heard that happen?
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
And the kid falls dead. Who controls that? That's all the devil, huh? No, it's not the devil. The devil doesn't have that kind of power. Read your book of Job. In order for the devil to do something devilish, he has to get God's permission. The devil was once an angel also who fell on grace, but he did not have any power over Job until he made a deal with God. You hear me? And even the book of Genesis, where Cain is afraid of being killed for killing his brother, God assures him, when they kill you, I will put seven curses on them. The devil does not have the power to move without God's permission. You hear me? Read your Bible. The devil comes before God humbly. He bows before God. He gets permission from God. So again, I ask, who's responsible for the conditions in the world? Who's responsible for certain children being born into poverty? That could be anything. Now, what does that mean? I mean, when you go over to Africa, a rich land, rich in minerals and resources, and you take a people out of that condition, and you bring them over to America, or let it happen, not the people did it, the forces let it happen. And it planted them in America, and in four generations they're on welfare, don't have no money, can't get jobs, don't get fair education. I ask you this. Who is letting this happen? And why? The devil? Again? You see, you got to give up this God devil crap. Because it's convenient for people. But every time something goes wrong, we blame it on the devil. Every time something appears to go right, we say, thank you, God. Even to the point, like I said many times, where a car accident occurs, and three people in the car die, and one gets out, the person that gets out, family says, thank you, God, for getting the three other people to die. You know, like that crash that I mentioned a couple of months ago? A helicopter crash. No, sorry. A car crash, and one man is on critical dying, other people are dead. The family gets in a crash site. A helicopter comes in, puts the man in the helicopter, and is on his way to the hospital. The whole family got hope, and the sober helicopter gets caught in electrical wires and crashes, and the man dies. Ain't that a better news? Who is responsible for that kind of stuff? The devil? Y'all better wake up. Realize we got to make things happen for ourselves.
Thank you.
when Jesus was talking about our Father who art in heaven, he was making it clear that his Father was not on earth. And I'll take you to this Bible, and I'll show you where his Father was on earth. What did we say? Genesis 4, right? It's the story of Cain and Abel, Genesis 4. I want you gotta pay attention to this game. Okay, let's do this. Let me start around verse 33. First thing I want you to notice in this chapter is the use of the word Lord, which is Yahweh. They're not using God, and they're not using the Lord God. They stop using God in this chapter all the way up into the last verse. You see why? Very typical. Full of crap. I hate to say that, but bother yourself. Let's look at this point. You don't mind taking this off. I'm glad I'm about to see this. Alright. Let's take verse 5. But unto Cain, unto his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very worth, that means angry, and his countenance fell. Now listen close. And the Lord, Yahweh, said unto Cain, Why? God had to ask him why. Shouldn't God know? Isn't God the all-knowing? Is this God talking, maybe? Or maybe not? This being talking to Cain didn't know why he was angry. Say, watch. Why art thou worried? And why is thy countenance fallen? If he had if, doesn't he know if he's going to do it? Is it God? Should he know? He said, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? By whom? I'm talking to God. Who then to accept me with you? You can just do it. Just go. Why is God making it sound like if he does good, somebody else is going to accept it? You with me? You see? Is that on there? Oh, yeah, y'all with me? Okay. Y'all can work with me now. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Sin is a him. Sin is a person, a male gender, not a it. It was in the verse. But him is now. Sin is not something the Christians talk about, or the Jews or the Muslims talk about, some type of force, not according to this book here. And the Quran came from the Torah. Sin is a he, a person. That's what God said. And you can change it the way you feel like. Look up in the Hebrew. Now listen, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Could God have prevented that? Why didn't he? Why didn't God, he just got to talk to him the verse before, why didn't he just say, Cain, don't kill your brother?
Right.
You hear me?
Right.
Don't kill your brother. I know you're saying because I'm God. I see your anger. I see your conscience. Don't kill your brother. We accepted him. He did the best he could do at this offering. You did a shabby job, and we don't accept it. Don't kill your brother. No, that's not what happened. He let him rise up and kill him. Go on. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? God don't know where he's at. God is not able to see from all of us anywhere. Well, we've been told while we was in our churches and our messages and our synagogues that God was all our sins and monitored everything we did and looked after us and protected us. But God is right here telling you, I don't know where you are. I don't see every one of you. I don't answer everyone's prayers. This is a hard truth, y'all. You may not like the way it sounds for you to listen, but it happens to be the truth. I'm going to be right out your King James Bible.
Although he's not with me. And ain't got a word tells you, we can go up to the number and see the Hebrew just to make sure. You with me? This is in the Bible. God don't know. Okay, now listen to this time. He says, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's brother? You talking to God like that? You can tell me you talking to the almighty, powerful, lightning causer? Cold giver, headache maker? You tell him, am I my brother's keeper? You got this person, you know why he's like this? Because we're going to get a little further and you're going to find out he's talking to someone face to face. He ain't talking to no spirit, no spook, no force. He's sitting there talking to a man. Watch. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? Hello? God just put questions. That question all over there? God said, what have you done? Doesn't God know? Are you with me? You read this every day. Reverend Pope chapter passes this off every day. And they're not touching on these little words, these little final points that may break the spell and make us give them this clap back and go on about our lives and get something done.
Right.
Sitting around waiting for something to happen out of heaven. Your grandmother and great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother all died thinking Jesus was going to save them. Said Jesus is coming back to save them. And they all died for suffering, arthritis, illnesses, in hospital beds, with their Bible in their hand, praying. Because there ain't nothing out here coming for you to call Jesus for God. This is a good story. The greatest story in the
world.
Well, that. Now, on verse 11. And now, art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. This is not a God talking. This is a farmer. He found what to deal with. Number 14. Behold, thou hast given me out this day from the face of the earth. You see that? And what? And from thy face. The word in Hebrew for face, they put payun, but it's payin. A face or a surface. He's saying to God, you have taken me off of this place, and I can't look at you face to face no more. God got a face like yours, that Cain is looking at. It's going to go on too. I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. This is kill me. Nobody is on the earth. Nobody on the earth. Just Adam, Eve, Cain, because he killed Abel. Who is going to kill him? Who is he talking about? I'll tell you he's talking about the giants and the other beings that have come to this planet that were on this earth in light of Genesis chapter 6. Goliath seed. You know why Goliath seed? Because this Bible tells you that they had six fingers and six toes. You with me? You walk away from that. Six fingers and six toes. Nobody in this room got six full-grown fingers and toes. You little bumps and stuff. Oh, yeah. I put pictures of them in books for you to see, haven't I? Well, if this is close, if Jesus, if God is
incarnate. And Jesus was reported to have had five fingers and five toes according to them. And man is in the image and the likeness of God. Everybody hold their hand for me. How many things you got? Bring a little gold. How many toes you got? So we created man in our image and our likeness. Now whose image and likeness is the people with six fingers and six toes? Where the hell are they from? Because if we're in the image of God, and Jesus was incarnate as God, and we saw the five fingers, well, if Jesus had five, six fingers and six toes, they would say. He had five fingers and five toes, like everybody else in there. Why is the Bible talking about people with six fingers and six toes? Go read the story of Goliath in 2 Kings to find it. Where they come from, there are people on this planet that do not fall up under your Adamic creation story. And I'll show you that in a minute. All right, where were we? So now Cain was afraid that some people killed him that didn't even exist. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. How do you walk away from the Lord? How can you walk away from an omnipresent being? You can't walk away. This is God. I can't walk away from God. And God is seeing everything. This Bible says he walked out of the presence of God. Did it? Is up there? How did he do that? Unless God was standing there talking to him face to face. They'll say that was Jesus. Then why don't you speak to Jesus? Huh? It says Jesus in the New Testament. Why would they say that? Well, the Old Testament made a prophecy for Jesus. Show me Jesus' name in the Old Testament. He had a name here. Why he had to be named again in the New Testament if he was the same God Old Testament? Why? Why would he get the name Jesus if he was the Jehovah of the Old Testament? Stop kidding yourself. Let me go on. Near the end of the same thing as the same chapter. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, verse 25, and called his name Seth. For God said, called his name Seth. For God said, she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And Seth, what am I reading wrong? And to Seth, correct me up. To him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. You know what Enos means? A human being, a mortal being. Can you all bring that up?
Yes.
Enos. What does it mean? A man. What the heck was being born before that?
Right.
And why would you name your son a man? I'll tell you why. Because the beings before that were called Adams, and they were called gods. And Enos never called the sons and daughters of man. The Enosites. Right in the Bible. They don't put you back in Hebrew. And you can buy the software and do it on the computer yourself. And kick them right in the butt. Do it, y'all. And now listen to this. Verse 26. Listen to the last line. Read it with me. Then began men to call. Let's go back to verse chapter 4, alright? Chapter 4, verse 1. Got it? And Adam knew Eve, his wife, right? And she what? Great. Great. Now, I've gotten a man from the Lord, back in 4, and 5 is the first time they call on the name Lord. Now, wait. How can he be the Lord in 4, and 5 is the first time, the last verse of it when he first called? The last verse of 4 is when they first start calling on the name of the Lord.
Is this a first out of place? Did someone lie? Are they trying to trick us and play with our soul? So they can keep us mentally enslaved in religious bullcrap? A little further. Let's open verse 5 and see what happens here. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. This is the what? Of bread. You know the change from Lord to Elohim now? Bring up God to be Elohim. And then that's Lord, Yahweh, and went to a new thing. And watch what happened here. Because, you know, see, if I go back to Genesis 1, can you go back to Genesis 1? And go to God. In the beginning, we had one morning. It's good. It's just my job now. Y'all can't happen in now. In the beginning, God and the Word of God did what? And now we jump to Lord God in the Lord, and now we get back to 5 and start back on God again. Because it's talking about creation again. That tells us this verse 5 going further back, isn't it? And let's set you a test. Back to 5. Number 2. Male and female. Could you click on the word male, please? What's his name? What's his name? Go ahead. Adam. Adam is not the man's name. Adam was the holy. I'm going to show it to you. Right down there. You with me? Male and female created them and blessed them and called what? Their name. Steve's name was Adam? No. Steve's name was Adam? Or was that a tribe of people? Of men.
Right.
When you get to Genesis chapter 6, the next verse, it says, and it came to pass when, you know what men did? Bring it up. You get it? What is it? When the Adamites don't have men there, they're not there, they're lying to you. When the Adamites began to multiply on earth, and what? Daughters were born unto them. Great, which were there? The sons of who? Click on God. Click on God. The sons of Elohim. Genesis 1, Elohim is the God who created everything.
Yeah.
All human beings are sons and daughters of where is Jesus? Right in the Bible. So I look in there and go word for word for the Hebrew. You realize they are misguiding us. And that's the reason why we're all messed up in the head. That's why we get that wrong. People say, well, where did God come from? No reason to answer. Who created God? Who are those people? I told you about Cain. He left the presence of God and went to the land of Nod. Right? And there he took a wife from who? There ain't nobody on the planet according to your religious Muslim, Christian, and Jewish belief. And that includes our Sabarians too. Y'all believe in Bible crap. Where did Cain take a wife from if nobody was on the planet? Don't quote our doctrine. But you call me crazy. Crazy like a fox. The sons of God saw what? That they were?
Fair.
Bring up the word fair.
They always say that means nice.
No, it doesn't. The Hebrew word for agreeable. So, that they were agreeable. And they do a confession. Isn't it good to look in the Bible and see what it says? Right in the word for word? How can they make this up? You can go buy this software.
All right.
I will make one of them. We will have our own stuff.
All right.
Amen to that.
And it took them while to always get chosen. Now guess who popped up again?
All right.
A different deity. A questionable deity. And the Lord, what did he say? My spirit. My rock. What? For that he also is flesh. How old does that mean? What does it say there? Now, this is speaking about the Spirit of God being in the flesh and living how long? Christians say Jesus died on the cross at 33 years old. Yes or no?
Yes.
Did Jesus live to be 120 or not?
Yes.
Well, now, who is this Son of God? Who is this Spirit of God? Who is in the flesh? Who will live 120 years? Who is? Only man in the Bible lived 120 years. The only one. And Moses also, in Exodus chapter 7, they shut down with us. Well, I'll find it. No, you can't. Moses gets to go. There you go.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And who's that being said? What did he say? Said unto Moses. What? Bring it up.
What's the Lord appoint Moses at?
Moses is the one who's back in the beginning with God or Jesus. Moses is called Elohim of God. And they call this small. Don't be looking at that small G. There was no small G in Hebrew. There is no small G in Greek. Gimel and Goma. There's no such thing as a small G. Don't run that capital G, small G, big G crap. That's only in the English translation to deceive you. You are the Elohim. You are the children and daughters of God. You ain't mere men. The men in this book are called beasts. Are called beasts in the field. Those are the evil beings who walk amongst you. All races. Mixed amongst us, disagreeable. They were not agreeable. So the God that came down from the stars didn't want nothing to do with the one that was disagreeable. They only wanted the one that was dead there that was. They took them and married the agreeable one. The word evil in there is the same word, disagreeable. When it says in Genesis, now the man has become like one of us, to know good from evil, watch. Genesis chapter 3, and there are around 26 of them. You know, we are. 22. And, is it on the board? And the Lord is great, y'all.
I'm looking at this house, how about that?
Are you age? understand.
Right.
That was a man there. That was a man called sin. I showed you he was a man. A people called sin. From a race of reptilians. You know what I mean? A group of sins of real fear who gave this life. Oh, man. That guy out there believes he's from another planet. That guy out there believes in UFOs, Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Bush. George Bush both believe, and they public that they believe in UFOs. The government has a project called Project Blue Book that the Pentagon financed. They believe in UFOs. They haven't figured out who's cutting the clock circles, who's mutilating the cows, who's abducting these people, and why the people all over the planet are seeing the same little bit. Just saying, they'll tell you, I'm grateful because I'm preparing you to watch out for those malicious people. So little devils, you want to make other human beings on earth now. You want to call somebody who oppresses you the devil. You got the real devils to worry about. Coming to this planet with chromosomes and breed people that look like you but think like them. Walking amongst us, the rebel rousers, the troublemakers, the liars, the violence of the violence, the deceivers, teaching you a false teacher. Telling you some clouds are open up and Jesus comes riding out of the White House. Some mythological junk. Because they don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know that you are the son and daughter of God. And you are God.
This series of tapes, Psychology vs. Theology, were recorded from classes given this year by the Supreme Grand Master Dr. Malachi Z. York, known to us as Naya, Malachi Zadok El, our own Pharaoh, Anunubi Ra'akata. These tapes were released in part so that you may listen and learn the profound facts as taught by the man of this hour. And now, listen to the dynamic teachings of the Supreme Grand Master Naya, Malachi Zadok El.
Yes. First thing to realize about the suicide is a very sad situation. That many people die because of fanaticism. And then it's also sad because of all the nations like ours, which they're going to try to direct. If I'm saying, what you're looking at is a group that they're giving you the impression just existed. And the government has known about that group since 1974, which is not a new group. The father, they have had countless incidents over that period of time with family members trying to visit them and, you know, trying to get out and the government ignored it. And what happens is you got to understand that the way the government is set up now, that we have so many different organizations that are here to so-called enforce the law, that if an incident is reported, somebody is supposed to respond. That's the law. The FBI will tell you that I don't believe what people are saying, but I have to respond anyway just in case something does happen. Then we have it on record that we did come out and check it out. Now, there's no way for this, and the leader and a couple of other guys have been castrated, right, for over 20 years. So there's something going on fanatical that the government must have known about. Now, the Hellbox incident we're talking about as recent as what, 19? No, the Hellbox. That's right, 95. Hell the Bop of two men. Don't get the name of the comic mixed up. It's two men. Right now, they discovered their comet. And when they zoomed in on the comet, what they saw was that there was a massive light behind it. They didn't know what it is. And when they did that, they opened the door for this fanaticism. So whenever you're looking at something in space, nowadays, after alien invasion and Independence Day and the Mars Chronicles and all of these UFO programs like sighting and X-Files, once you say there's an we don't know what it is. After you've already taught people that when we see an object flying and don't know what it is, it must be a UFO. And then what they made it a point to do while they were talking about objects is they say it's not so much as to the object, but who is flying the object. They drew everybody's attention next to the next form of encounter. What kind of beings or creatures or whatever is flying these craft? This is subliminally being done to put something in your mind. And what I would try to do is counteract the ridiculousness by making points like a flying, when you say flying saucer, you're speaking of an aerodynamic craft. If the craft is aerodynamic, then what? It's made there. It's terrestrial. There's no reason for an extraterrestrial being to come across the universe or interdimensionally and then use an aerodynamic craft. Whenever they show you Area 51 and they speak about the craft in Area 51, they never comply to what Bob Lazar says, that he saw a saucer, which comes from two saucers coming together. They say a ball of light, which is more in compliance with some intergalactical or interdimensional driving energy, moving from one side of the universe or one side of the state or dimension to the next. So when they start getting these aliens things, I mean, they show this alien movie recently and all the aliens come to Mars, they pretend they're nice guys, and then they shoot up at us. They show you a craft that comes out the clouds, which of course we've all read the Book of Exodus, when it's doing the Israel was making an exit by the clouds, and we already have to the church stamped in our minds about a semi-belief in beings that are from beyond the stars. Now what the science is doing, and they started doing this about 6 months ago, and I don't know if you noticed it, but I did. They started pushing this, what they call angel phenomenon. Everybody's into angels now. We're in angel bins. Even at the OJ case, they pointed out that they all had on angel bins. They knew that was one of the most widely watched cases in the country. You know what I mean? They knew they were saying, now what would be an angel? The Greek, of course, is angelos, evil, malak, or malaika, in ancient Egypt, Zetru, amongst the Hopi, the Katina, amongst the Nigerians, the Shuni. We always had names for beings that came from the star, or beyond the star. In ancient Egypt, solstice was the star, what they call a third star constellation, the Dogon tribe of beings. And so now, what would they be doing by planting this angelic belief, other than to plant in your mind a group of beings that come from beyond the star? You with me? Along with that, they planted in Switzerland, a guy named Billy Myers, I'm not saying they put him there, the thought, I mean, it's smart, and he spoke about a Pleiadian group. So when the UFO thing hit, it didn't have room for racism. Because everybody was worried about little brains. We wasn't particularly worried about little brains getting jobs, driving buses, or running the government. There was no racism involved in the first fear, because everybody was a cop. So what the racists of the world had to do is they had to introduce into it the Pleiadians and say, there's a Nordic. Every time you hear the word Nordic, you're hearing Europe. A Nordic race of superior beings, tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, who came from Aldebaran. That entered into the racial problem. Then, of course, this happened back in Hitler's time. Then, of course, the Nubians started saying, well, no, they're not white. They must be. So the original demons got their separation tactics going in a phenomena that they were planning so that they can justify what was referred to as black money. Black money was so they can get involved in high-tech projects without involving you. They're going to get lost too many wars. And the tactics of going to Hiroshima and dropping a bomb just did not fit with people right. So they had to come to a more sophisticated method of winning wars. That was working on time machines in the Philadelphia, experimenting with disappearing craft or radar evasion in the Philadelphia incident, and then in the Montauk project they did with time machines, and they started moving to another game, and what became mental. So the government admits that they have people that deal with psychics, so they can show us that in the 70s and the 60s on television, how the Russians had people moving needles, and that Yuri Gagarin was bending spoons, and they were introducing the paranormal into our minds. That people have psychic powers, they can move metal and levitate things. So they opened the doors in the 60s, and every swarmy tip that you could think of from India came running into the United States, sitting in Knoxville, humming, 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 and everybody dropping out of college and not going to the military and sitting around organization is. So the government put together an organization that says that they do remote viewing. Simple word means we look at things at a distance. Very simple. And they said, so they found the best psychics in the country and put together a team of remote viewers. I'll get back to Hellbot, so you see what I'm saying. So now, once they introduced the Hellbot project, and they say behind this massive thing that we don't know what it is, the first thing that goes to mind after all the grooming is it's a UFO. Now, a man named Zachariah Sitchin, a Russian Jew, who's fluent in Kunipal and many other languages, he called it Nibiru, because that's what was in the tablet of the Enuma Elish. Nibiru. Something that it means crosses the... Start working with me here and start to put the pieces together. You want to say? All right. There in Zachariah Sitchin's book, he tells you that these beings were the Nephilims of the Bible, Tanakh, the Torah, Genesis 6, that originally cloned the first humans on earth, Lulu, Amu, Adam and Eve, and that they were going to leave and 3,600 years distance home and 3,600 distance back would be about 6,000 years. And they're coming back to do what? To get their children. Now, Christianity in time has interpreted this as the Muslims say the Mahdi is coming. The Jews say the Messiah or the Messiah is coming. The Buddha say Buddha is coming or Messiah is coming. And everybody now has gotten this thought planted in their mind to expect some supernatural incident where some being who were here a long time ago who created you left and are coming back to get you. So now back to Hellbot. So when the Hellbot incident comes, all the people that belong to the 60s that had made the hippie transition was walking around saying peace and love, and the whole world was in a beautiful state because we take the LSD and everybody was focused on Cloud 9 and listened to all these swarmies about all of the transcendental meditation. These minds are ripe for the picking. You with me?
Yeah.
They're right. So when the 60s spirit died, back in the 60s, some group then started committing suicide. Because they were disappointed. So Jim Jones took a group of people, and with the help of the government, who really did the execution, by the way, they eliminated those people and made it look like a perfect. Because they were having a cult war in this country. They started this thing called cult busting. The cult buses were really brought to the country out of Christian churches in order to get these swamis and these Muslims and all these fanatical Eastern religions out of here that did not sit straight with the American system that we live in. No shirts and ties, no gray suits, no attaché cases, no more riding in the subway. You know, come on, no more eating meat, no more drinking alcohol, no more smoking drugs. And you follow? And there was big money in all that. There was big money in silk suits. And us buying Italian loaf and alligator shoes. And our pack of sweaters, there was a lot of money there. There was big money in processes and terms for whites and blacks. But don't fool yourself, Caucasians also turn their hair. Don't fool yourself. So everybody does. There's money there. If all there was money in the transcendental thing, right? Of course, they started selling them, always all those things, Hare Krishna outfits and Hare Krishna. But the government couldn't get his hands on it because it fell under religion, separated from state. So they turned around and looked at the Christians and said, you people have to do something about these foreign invasions. Aliens. What's the difference between an alien from another planet or an Indian who comes in without a green card who's also referred to as an alien? So on the book, alien and alien. This is one of them games they play every 10 years. To try to stop the possibility of Earth people coming together and starting to respect each other as human beings. They have to keep this place set in a way where there's a caste system. You follow that? Where certain people are kept low enough and their intelligence is exploited for fear of dominance. So they say the black Muslims preach black supremacy. But teaches racial
separation.
You know what I mean? The skinheads preach racial separation, but the evil Israelites preach black brothers. Black are supreme. This, of course, stirs hate. You ain't no better than me. You ain't got blood is blood, skin is skin. That's the game. Back to Hellbox. So, with the Hellbox situation, the first thing that establishes everybody's mind is UFO, behind Hellbox. Now, they know that Hellbox is going to be seen by anybody who wants to look up and see it. So, the Hellbox itself will be a confirmation of the possibility of anything else said about it. You understand what I mean? Make it more believable. When, let's say, Elijah Muhammad said there was a mother plane in the sky, built a long time ago by scientists, right? Now, Hellbox, people there say, mothership. You see the game? The psychological thing. Now we got a whole upsurge of energy for those people who are looking for a savior. Now the Christians can't get a part of this because their star has already come. You follow that? So now we're with our next move. All of the leftover hippies, all these new extraterrestrial groups, they showed you that group on Independence Day. Climb up to the top of the roof and wave to extraterrestrials, as they call them, come take us. And they did. They took them all. They shot them and killed all people. You with me? So they introduce to you Hellbox. They make it public. They introduce to you Simon Danby's angels. There's a Christian revival. There's a religious surge. There's a cultural surge going on again from the 60s, and it makes the atmosphere right for fanatics to step in and do things like that. And then they know that, because when they do that, then they turn people going and say, what's up, guys? You're all black. Everybody is a cult. The word cult is short for cult. Everybody, the Pope is a cult. The Pope cult met this morning at sunrise, like his brother said. It had a sunrise visual for Easter. A sunrise visual. Christians went out and watched the sun come up for Easter. Now, that ain't sun worship cult worship, but he's a Pope, so he's cool. They don't ask him, is he a cult? But they're afraid that somebody like you might know what that craft is if it's a craft. But they don't know. And then they put their remote viewers on it, and they're looking to keep a job. So they start making up all kinds of, oh yeah, it's a living entity. Oh yeah. And even went as far as saying it's coming here to get a certain group of people. Not only that. Selected people. And extra intelligent people. It makes that makes it real easy for me to want to be a part of. Because it seems like it's addressing me. If I think I'm so intelligent, you get me? Because I said, this year class is coming just for pretty people. Who's going to tell the ugly people that? This ain't something about you. I'm just telling you how they work with mind things. Just by making the statement that it's for a selected group of people, and they're coming to get these people, and these people are super intelligent people, that group surfaced. There's probably a thousand other groups saying something about us. Now, what is the relationship between suicide and rescue? None. There's no relationship between suicide and rescue. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If I tell you that I am coming to rescue you, then there's no reason for you to commit. So now, you cannot convince me that the people who committed suicide really believe that these godlike aliens were coming to us. Because in that case, they would not be committing suicide. And you say, well, they were going to transport their body, transport their soul, but leave their body, then why the extraterrestrial got to come? That's actually the reason to move the stone. But if you can go through the stone, if someone moved the stone, it's because somebody wants to take somebody's body out of the tomb.
Right.
And the stone was already moved before Mary and Magdalene got there. Jesus didn't resurrect that day to no stone.
They're not joining organizations
because they have investigated the things I say. But the principles of this organization, the principles of my organization and your organization was, don't believe me. Don't trust me. That's what all I need to see. Believe what I say. Don't believe me. So when we talked maybe 4 or 5 years before the incident of Hellbox, not calling it Hellbox, but Nibiru, nothing new. Something recorded in the Inuma Elish that it would come back. NASA knows about it. Called the Planet Act, got it on record. They've been recording it for the longest. But they know. They know of an ancient prophecy the Mexicans had recently. Their prophecy came true. And craft was recorded for Mexico on film, and they cannot. The government cannot say either, other than metallic. So they write them away, and they can't let Mexico merge, so they create a new problem with Mexico and drugs, close the gates down, block the propaganda, your undesirable and extraterrestrial information coming through from the ancient almanac that the Mexicans are receiving, you won't get. They know about the Dogon tribe. They've been knowing about the Dogon tribe before you did. And they know the Dogon tribe speak about a star called Sirius, or the Sirius star sign, or solstice as we call it. And it's at one of the points off of the belt of the three stars all around. They were trying to relate the Dogon to the Orion star constellation of Egypt. Then they found out that the Dogon migrated from Egypt to Mars. And they found out that the Sirius star was called Isis. And that the Orion belt was the three pyramids of Khufu. And that the planet alignment takes place every 6,000 years. They know about the 26,000 years for the axis needle shift. They know about the equinox and the epoch, 50,000 years for the crust shift. They know about the seven inner planets lining up. Don't come out here and say, I wrote the book 5-5-2000. I didn't write the book. Fine, seek out the men. Don't slap hell about the side of the head. We're not controlling the propaganda. But when you say stuff in a fanatical society, a liberal society like America, you got to be careful how you word things. Because there are crazy people here. And if you're a responsible leader, you must be careful what you say. Yes, we're an organization that recognizes the ancient ones. But we don't just say the ancient ones are coming from beyond the stars. We say the ancient ones are also beneath us. The Almacs, the Mayans, the Aztecs, that's our people, the indigenous people of this land. The racial problem comes in with economics.
Right.
Creating separate markets, regardless of what the result is between human beings, if I can get all the white people to like one kind of music, and all the black people like another kind of music, and all the red people like another kind of music, separate diets, I have created three separate markets. That's why I told y'all that they are going to change the music soon. That's why they're giving all the awards to people like Babyface and Tony Braxton. Who's not wearing baggy clothes. Simple economics says if everybody is buying extra large clothes, then I'm losing money. Because if I, listen close, I'm not as crazy as I look. If I can sell you, what size shirt do you wear? Extra large. What size shirt do you wear?
Large.
So there's less fabric going into his shirt than in his shirt. Now if I can get somebody here with a medium, and then a small, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can calculate mathematically the amount of yardage through my profit based on his extra large to his large to so-and-so's medium, but charge all of them the same price.
Right.
I charge the extra large price, but I save 2 or 3 yards of fabric as the sizes go down. So when the kids started buying all extra large clothes, thanks to Chris Cross. Oh boy, and then backwards pants really around the possibility of taking that metal out that zipper, how many billions of dollars would have been lost every year just by removing the zipper. See, the Muslims come in the country and they put on jellybeans and pants and having clothes and tie them up in those zippers. And the metal industry is here. And they go, those Muslim guys in those clothes, there's no money in that. What do Muslims use that got metal in it? Not so that, this may sound crazy to y'all, but we are talking about billions of dollars a year. And if you don't realize it's all based on money, but I'm talking commerce versus commercialism versus brainwashing versus subliminal seduction versus suicide, which brings that stuff about. Didn't you know that everybody had on Nike? Everybody committed suicide had on Nike. Premeditated suicide, and we all go buy the most expensive shoe we can find. If you want to go and commit suicide, you can buy a fall bean from Walmart. So they intend to commit suicide with $80-something sneakers on. They pre-planned it. Someone stuck in a Nike commercial. Someone saw an opportunity to stick in a Nike commercial. Why mention it? Why even bother? So now, in a division, we have, let's say, in white music, right? They got Marshall guitars, and they got Marshall amplifiers, I'm sorry, and they got certain instruments they play, and their kids wear a certain kind of dress, and they go to a certain kind of club, and they go to a certain type of dances, and they move different than we do. No doubt about it, right? And now this is a market. Over here, there is a black market.
Yeah.
Over here is a Latino market, more grass section, more funeral, more a different type of dress, a different type of pants. It's a separate market. I'm telling you, man, this is stuff they play. This is manipulation. What happened now? Say what's happening. The age of awareness is lining up with the age of Aquarius. And people are becoming simple again. If I'm saying people are saying, well, I don't need that no more. McDonald's and them ain't giving away toys because their burgers are selling. If my burgers sell, I ain't got to give you a toy. I'm giving you a bonus just like the bank and the car deal because I'm trying to lure you in because I'm not making the kind of money out of you stuff. Because people no longer believe in McDonald's. People are starting to get healthy. People are starting to jog. And we don't manufacture sneakers. But we don't produce enough gum Arabic in this country, so it's coming from the Far East. Look at all the sneakers everybody got on. And where the sneakers ain't, their shoes got rubber soles. Leather was one of our markets. Why? Because we had cattle. But not sneakers. You got to get the message? You understand the baggy clothes syndrome? So they got to get baby face because he wears suits. They got to get Toni Braxton because she's wearing slim clothes. They even fixed out with the Houston dust her off, but she was gone. Cleaned her up and put her back in. They put, That's how they work. They don't care. They bought Ross Stewart, but back when he's about 100 years old. They need y'all to get back into jewelry and hair perms. They need y'all to get back to restaurants and evenings and going to the movies. Remember one time when videos came in, all the movie theaters were complaining because people were staying home and taking them. Right now, there's about 30 new comedies out. People are going out to the movies again. Going out to the movies means going back to restaurants. Going back to restaurants. All economics. Crime is economics. Oh, yeah. Why is crime economic? Because the police force represents economics. He got a wooden stick, rubber shoes, a leather belt, a cotton uniform, a steel gun, an iron buckle, a copper strap. When you see him in a uniform, policeman, make them step back into this. And look at him, look at the amount of money that's on this one guy. He carries over 20 pounds to 20 to 50 pounds of weight and is expected to catch a young black boy running through the ghetto what he's thinking. He has something for that too. No, he could not catch you. So what he did is made a style where you untied your shoes and let down your pants so he could catch you. But when I was coming up, we didn't get caught. If we got a chance to run, and how many people had this 40 to 50? Right, y'all know that. If we got a chance to run, it wasn't about catching. If we got a chance to run in our neighborhood, it really wasn't about these young boys, you see them every time you pass up against the wall. Why do you look? Their pants are not and who controls the style? Come on, TV controls the style. If they didn't want gangs, they wouldn't have that movie on color. We had gangs in the 52. We went out and hit each other's car, Earl, Carver, Canada, boom, called each other's names, and back. It was all for the girls. It was like a gladiator thing. And somebody pulled out a 9mm. Everybody went, whoa. The girls wasn't letting court. Nowadays, kids are shooting each other dead. They even taught them to hold a gun different to make it creative. Shoot sideways. Elimination process. For the population process. As Dr. Francis Wellstein says, read about us. An icy figure. The elimination process. Now we're at a point. In time, they come in, it's like they can't stop drugs from coming in this country. Right? Or better yet, Mexicans can't get in the country, but Arabs can get in here and blow stuff up. Mexicans only got to cross the border, and Arabs got to cross the water. It's a matter of people turning the and looking the other way. There's no day how we in? Go back to the hell box. Don't believe the hype. All that is a setup and it might even get worse. Why? Because of things like Nawapo. If you think for 1 minute I'm teaching you that we're getting out of America to go to Africa, you don't belong here. Because I've traveled all over Africa. I've lived in Africa. I've lived in Africa. I'm an African. And most Africans are trying to get over here. Let's not be no fool. It was a beautiful place. It was, but it's no more. Leadership, power, cool. That's like greed, ego. What do you think is going on in Zaire right now? It's all over ego. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist here. But at least here they say, give me a portion of your money, call tax, and I'll protect you. And stay in a certain guideline, and I'll protect you. It's not something that they volunteer to do. This is something that they have to do, because you're the ancient one. And this is recorded right here in the government, that they want to protect you. Because this is really your land. And they know it. I'm not going to go into that. That starts another whole chapter of our life. But again, the hell about don't come past us. So, we all know you guys. I know I don't know these people. Are they listening together? I might have met them. These people picked the richest neighborhood in California to die in. I would have got stopped walking through that neighborhood. They said, well, there's a couple of Negro people with them. Yeah, that was your Horace brother from Star Trek. And he got money. He can walk through the neighborhood. But they go, well, you're Horace brother. Go ahead. Who are you? I'm Dr. Melchizedek. You can't go to this neighborhood. Because you're going there to steal. This is a zoo. If you run through the streets of California, you will get arrested. So now, here we got, let's touch another subject there. Here we got a group of, what did they say, 39 of them? Yeah. Let's just say it was only 39, it was hard to believe, right? Yeah. 39 people moved in one of the richest neighborhoods in California, all dressed in black, all wearing Nike. You can see the leader's marbles are scrambled just by his face. He almost looks exactly like DuPont. And you can see that someone was all holding his marble bag and they fell out. You see the man ain't all there. And now this group walked around an exclusive neighborhood and nobody knew nothing about it. And no investigation was done. Not even the neighborhood sheriff sort of that kind of, they said, well, you know, they came to our restaurant just 4 days before they died. They all came in and they were so polite and they were nice, and I never knew they were going to die. You ever think maybe they didn't either? Because they don't wear in the world. But if I said y'all, this is... Give me the benefit of the doubt. Please let me make a fool out of myself first before you die. Listen, everybody, it's time for us to commit suicide. Somebody needs to tell government a little more about black people. Because if they would have really watched Rodney King thing, they would know how bad he wanted to look. That we just don't do stuff. We don't just go, let's all just go to the I've been in the movement since the 60s. I mean, from the Black Panther, not a member, but in the seeing all these groups. And I don't ever remember any of us.
Right,
yes, saying, you know, angels, plus the new angel phenomena on television, on all the programs. And all this is being set up to keep you in a dumb state. Because they knew the ancient one was coming. They knew a certain amount of awareness was going to come. They thought it was Dr. Martin Luther King, but they said Fannin. They thought it was Malcolm X, but they said Fannin. They thought it could have been Robert, and that's very recent. I can go back 20, 30 years. You keep seeing those deaths. If anybody stands up and sounds like they might be making some sense. They think it's coming to an individual, it's not to a people. The consciousness is not coming to an individual. It's not just coming through me or from Farrakhan. That's tripping. The consciousness is coming to you.
Well, back. My name is Dr. Valen Christie. I've been a student of the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York, for 10 years. And in those 10 years, I've been exposed to nothing but undisputable truth, from the Nubian Islamic Hebrews, to the Ansar Allah community, to the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, to the ancient and mystical order of Malachi Zadok. I've been through all the schools of higher learning. And now, I'd like to introduce the man of our time, the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
Of God is obedience. That's not
And that all of y'all are God. And then he continued to say, is it not written in the law? I said, I am the law. So, in my view, or my point of view, right, I don't see it as a negative thing. I'm quite impressed by it. And everything he talked about on that tape, up until when he gets to his wanting you to worship some kind of God, I'll touch on that too. I'm fine with everything else. He got my back in 360 on it. As far as Reverend Calvin, or what's his name? Coming over, it was after money embezzlement and after female harassment charges in the Christian church. So it's not an impressive move. If someone came over to me carrying that with them, I wouldn't put them on the podium next week before I investigate the realities of it. So Calvin becoming, you know, joining the nation as long doesn't make them look good. If you would have did that with a clean track record, they mean a fire and brimstone preacher, they would have something, you know, to fall about. But he just came out of an unsettled case of female harassment as a minister and money, well, I think $330,000. If that was me, that'd be all over the place.
Right.
If I'm going to say so, that'll impress me the least. You know what I'm saying? Mainly about the lecture is, don't buy the hype. That was all hype. All the screaming and the yelling was hype. Because if you shave away all the hype and all that synthetic support, you get right back down to, he said, nothing that I didn't say before him, that I didn't say, my book didn't say, the father, those who are leaving didn't say, it has nothing new to say. And that's the test of the time. We're in a new day and time, so in a new day and time, have something new to say. You cannot expect to bring people out of a bad condition with the same bad information. The information has got to upgrade itself in order for you to upgrade the people. And Noble Duali, as a prophet, had a point, it made sense, and it lifted them to a certain level. Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a point, it made sense that day and time, and it lifted them to a certain amount of level. You know what I'm saying? Even Clarence 37, you got it now, 37, he had it, and he lifted them up. But now what? We're still talking the same stuff? So, and obvious, because he didn't say that there's no racism, it ain't about people's color, it's about, he said, I'll die. He even said, get away from that God thing. And when he started explaining God, and I like to comment if you go and get today, he didn't talk about Farad at all on Farad birthday. Elijah Muhammad's son, Ishmael, Sinai's son, he did a Farad thing. Other ministers did it when they got there one by one. But he did. He did not give Farad no props. Because I know he's smart enough to know you can't get around those books. You're going to have to answer those questions and can't. And all the people sitting there had their book in the back of their mind. Not that anybody in there or his guy, but some of them, I ain't reading that garbage. But the ones who want the truth will sit there and they will listen with that, with those two books in their mind. And two more coming out. Back on that job that you saw me put on them tape and dress like me. Your mother had to wear that upright six-pointed song weapon when a call was made to the song was supposed to represent a certain phase of the moon. And that phase of the moon is supposed to be what they refer to as the new moon. This way. And they were differentiating their presence and their star, like you said, that's my imagination is on, from that which Noble Duari brought out, which was there. And they just say, well, his representative here though, his representative said, and our representative knew. But they didn't have back then a moon like this. They didn't have that. That is not in your book, the upright presence. I brought the upright presence into existence before nature brought into existence. Now is then. But when you say then, it could be
in behind you, bend and forward, or stand.
Come on.
And that's the stuff of Pam, and this is the stuff that we have here.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the day we have. So there's no reason for Minister Louis Farrakhan to wear an upright crescent that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never wore. And then say you follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then you walk in his steps. And you do what he just does. And you dress the way he dressed. And you shave your mustache or shave it off or trim up to be like him. If you follow him, because you see him like the so-called sunnah as the best example. The Sunni Muslims, those the wise, tried to emulate Rasulullah Muhammad 1400 years ago to the letter. And they call that following his sunnah or his way of doing things. But now how are you going to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and following my sunnah? But I was upright Christian. And on that green hat, my color, you had a 20 star. You can see it just as clear as day because whoever was on the camera might have been one of our followers. But these dudes came right on his face. You can see where they put the 6 points on it, not five. That is not the symbol on your book. That is not the symbol on your in your lesson. That is not your national, not your flag, not your pendant. That is known as our symbol. Everybody knows. You know why they know it? Because they never saw what they refer to as a Jewish star and a Muslim crescent. They never saw it before. The high-ranking Freemasons saw it, and they were the folks who are on the street now. Do you know what that means?
Right.
And you say, you? And walk on about your business, but they and no one else ever introduced a six-pointed star and upright crescent to Nubians until 1970 when I presented it to the world. As a sign of the ever-living, the living, the true and living God. And they look in the book, and they look and say, this is the symbol of the true and living that leads you God out. But I wasn't taking a position until the time was right. But when I say true and living God, I mean, like the brother said, you can walk up to your God and talk. You walk up to him and say, I got a question for you, God. They can't do it. They can't walk up to Farah. They can't walk up to Clarence. They can't walk up to none. You understand? And if I move on to the next life, then another God steps in place. No such thing like nobody's coming after me because I'm so great, nobody can defeat me. That's not how it works with us. When one Pharaoh steps down, another Pharaoh comes in. That's all God means to Pharaoh. But when we make the declaration that we're God, what upsets you, fool, is you keep on taking our definition all the way from the hands of our community. I would tell y'all, stop judging my religion by your religion. Stop judging my interpretation by yours. You stop reading our book and think you know what we're talking about, fool, instead of just asking me. We say, God, we ain't talking about your God. Your God, you know, if I said, you win. I'm talking about when you look back at Sumer, when you see those deities on the wall, they were God. When you look back in Egypt, you see the deity on the wall, they are God. That's the kind of God I am. That's the kind of God I'm looking at. That's the kind of God y'all forgot your work. And that's what they want to make you think when they say that idol worship. And don't even define the word idol. What is an idol? The word they use in Arabic is mithala, like. They don't even have a word for it. Mithala is the root of the word for idol. What is it? If you idolize somebody, then y'all going to Master Prophet Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad are idols because y'all idolize them. You got a big old picture on the wall, bigger than life. So if you've taken it out of proportion of life, if you made it 1 inch larger than him, then you have now taken it and expanded God. So what's the problem? We don't have no problem with you calling all night and I'm a God. We know he's God.
Right.
We have a problem with you trying to make us worship a group. Something you cannot do. Or don't have, we don't have a problem respecting Climate 37 or 17, whatever you want to call that. But we're not going to worship today. You don't worship the dead. You respect the dead. You honor the dead. And only those dead people that did something is entitled to respect and honor.
That's right.
Those that have it, they're very
that made a mark have affected our lives, we respect them. We respect the Mahdi, alayhi salam. And always will. Our Mahdi. If y'all don't want to be your Mahdi, they need our Mahdi. You put them in our bag with the rest of our stuff. Y'all want some Ulama Asif, some Pakistani? That's your Mahdi. That's fine. Y'all want Master Prophet Muhammad call your Mahdi? That's your Mahdi. That's fine. Why we all can't have our own Mahdi? We all got our own shoes on. My foot ain't the same size as yours. As long as we don't stand toe to toe, you follow me, I got no problem. And we obviously, y'all don't want to stand toe-to-toe with me on what Mahdi is like. But I wrote a whole book on how my Mahdi is a true Mahdi. I can see y'all. I had to write a book on yours, so you won't. You know what I'm saying? So that's the bottom line. It's that we are God, and we're reflections of God, and we're an image of God, and we're the likeness of God. If that bothers you, then, hey, you just have to live with your problem. Do things, come and go. Get it cured. Get the cavity dug out. Get a shot. But do something. But don't interfere with me. No matter your need. You can't explain to me or prove to me you got a toothache anyway. I know you got a toothache. By toothache, I mean I know the stress in what you're teaching, but I can see it in your eyes. I can see the lack of confidence when I watch that tape. I don't watch that tape to watch that mouth. I watch that tape while their mouth is moving, that sound is coming out. I want to see if they really accept what they're saying. They know what they're saying. Anytime anybody starts talking about God, they don't know what they're saying because they cannot prove it. If I talk about a car, I can prove it. If I talk about this punk, I can prove it. If I talk about the compass in the square, the actual compass and the square, the actual punk, the actual car, I can prove it or take it to one. If I can't, I'll make one. Those are the principles of being confident and being in truth and being right.
Right.
But not when I start trying to convince you that you are wrong if you don't believe in some unseen God. And give you a complex and try to make you feel guilty because you're the kind of person that says, I don't mind you look good feeling that way. But I just have a man that wants to know. That may, I'm a different kind of being. You can call me the devil. You can call me anything to make you feel comfortable because I want to know. I just want to know. There ain't anyone over there now. You talk to me about Allah. Tell me about Allah. Can you explain this thing to me? Don't say God the creator. Get all that. And the worst thing you can do is run over to the Quran, a book written by mortals, if not written by mortals, recorded by mortals, stored in the subconscious or conscious mind of mortals and human beings who are all imperfect, like you said, a wobbling planet, a wobbling mind. Your mother ain't going to go to the Quran and say, listen, the Quran says, Allah said, of course. The Quran was written for people like you that want to use the word of Allah. Of course the Quran is going to back up Islam. You go to Jehovah's Witnesses, they do the same thing. They got a whole bunch of books that back up Jehovah's Witnesses' junk. What about the universal truth? The universal truth would be to strip the name of Allah and tell me the meaning of it. And your scholars can't even do that. El Ilah or El Rahu or they don't even know what it means. You asked for the other day, some 5%, I believe in Allah. What does Allah mean? He said, huh? The word, not, you know, not the attribute, the word itself, that being attributed to the being of force, the source, the person, or whatever, or the fox, the cookie, whatever it is that you're going to love, what does the word first mean? They can't tell you. But from the listening of law, what does the law mean? The God. What happens if the Germans never created the word God or good? Then what would you say it means? The Duke, the French, the Guillaume, the Spanish? What would you say, man, that we need all these other languages? Stop everybody else's language, brother, and tell me what Allah means. Now, what would happen is, if he could speak the Arabic language, he would start giving you a commentary of Allah in Arabic. That's the only way you can explain Allah. Because Allah is an Arabic word. You can't explain Allah in Arabic word in English. You would be translating. The bottom is you'd be moving away, trance. You'd be going away from it. Trans authority, understand? You'd be going away from it because you cannot capture the actual meaning. The bottom, so now who's trying to pull me in and make you think that a person don't believe in God and they're a devil? The brothers don't believe in God, brothers don't believe in the devil either. I'm going to tell you that. They come together. Because you wouldn't even know there was a God unless there was a devil. Because there'd be no purpose for your God if there was no devil. So y'all need the devil to banish all these your God. Because But what would a religion be without the devil? What would be the purpose of Islam if there was no shaitan? What would be the purpose of Judaism if there was no hasatan? What would be the purpose of Christianity if there was no dragon? If I was to ask a Muslim, do y'all need the devil? You better have the devil, because if you don't, you have to close your mouth and stop Mecca. But the whole purpose of going to Mecca is to, I would be sad. So shaitan and everything you say. In your salon, you're praying to shaitan. When you eat, you're praying to shaitan. I don't want shaitan to take my food. Not only men, we don't say God is a wimp. Only God and the devil is a wimp. That's a wimp club. Now all these owners, they get locked in one world ideology. And think you got a monopoly on the whole world got a big problem. Meaning, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity is nothing but one ideology on the planet. You don't know nothing about the depth of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Zoroastrianism, and a million other philosophies or doctrines or religions that have nothing to do with your concept of belief. You only sound powerful because you're in a country that was owned and ruled and lived on by a group of people called Washita or Tunis from the ancient Almanac, developed, who did not believe in that God, and the Christian concept came over here with, people who were Portuguese brought the Christian doctrine over here.
60 seconds.
And then later on, Judaism came over here. And then later on, Islam came over here, but the indigenous people of this land, the natives of what they call Americans, didn't know nothing about your God. And got wreckage that the Almighty is existing 900 years before Christ. Here, right on this land, America, 900 years before Christ, they're digging up heads right now in Mexico called Anastasia. And there they find traces of a people that look just like you before the year 570, when Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was born. Before Jesus was born.
10 seconds.
You understand that? We got a life and a culture that goes back way before that. We were called Moors by race. Way before Moor was synonymous with Muslims. They were Moors before they were Muslims. They were called Morenos before Muhammad was even born.
Right.
Or Moors, the French way, before Muhammad was born. If I'm saying somewhere along the line, Islam bit its way into Moors. And now you got a bunch of people walking around saying, I'm a Moorish scientist, and raising their hands on Islam. Don't realize that Islam is taking away from the greatness of being a Moor, because Islam was born in Arabia among Hindus and Turks calling themselves Arabs. And there was no Middle East. Look at the map again and then say Middle East. I show it off. Say it. Now I'm going to say the word. I mean, think about Middle East. Where is that? You do it. Go to a blackboard anywhere and do this. Make a comment. And put Middle East there, right? How can you be a Middle East? And this is west, and this is east, and this is north, and this is south. How can this be the Middle East? Now, we know of a thing called the Far East. That's the Far East. This would be the Far West. This would be the Far North. And this would be as far south as you can go. As far west as you can go, as far east. But there's no such thing as a Middle East. There's no such thing as an Arab with natural roots. You will not trace Arabs to natural roots. You'll trace the people back to a man called Dathan, which will go back to Hebrew, but you will not find Arab as a race. The word automobile means automobile. And the word that Adam means to roam about, to move.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't exist. There was no such thing as Saudi Arabia. That oil over there is ours. Our land extends from California to where? The Persian Gulf. There was no split. There was no red or green sea. as a natural breath. That Atlantic Ocean did not exist. I showed all that back in the Norbert. All those pieces fit right back in. Play on down through South America. There's no such place as Puerto Rico. That just means that when they got there, he said, that's the richest port I've ever seen. So how now are you going to say that Puerto Ricans are poor people, and Puerto Ricans are minorities, and Puerto Ricans don't have nothing? And when you say Puerto Ricans, you're saying they're rich. Simon Amorite says, you Puerto Ricans. He's saying, you people from that rich port.
That's right, that's right.
You say, well, what happened to the riches? What happened to the people of the port? I say what happened to them. They took it. Fake Puerto Ricans. Vanguard, Project, took it. Took the image of the Moors. Because we had Moors in Morocco, Moors in Spain, Moors in France, Moors all across Europe. More was what they called you by race. That had nothing to do with being Nubian. Had nothing to do being Muslim or Hebrew. More described your race. Moreno. Black. People from that black soil. Quran says it. Man was created from the dust of the ground. So every time they try to change the meaning of Nubian, they say, well, Aswan, from the word Aswan, black, does not have anything to do with the people there. It has to do with the soil of that place. Well, fine, because the people in that place, who walked in that place 5.1 billion years ago, walked alongside of dinosaurs in that place and left their footprint in that soil. And if your doctrine means the Torah and the Quran and the New Testament right, that man was shaped from the dust of the ground, then it was the black dirt of a swan. It shaped the skin of the man anyway, so it still covers the man. You are more. The Morris Science Temple is related to it from an Islamic standpoint of view, from a Moroccan standpoint of view. Bring out a Moroccan flag, not a Morris flag. You with me? The Moroccan flag is red, with a beaming star of Solomon. The sacred seal of Solomon came into Morocco by way of France. That's where the word Moor, M-O-O-R, comes from. That's a French way, Moor. You don't know what they were called in their language. Because if I walk up to you and you're from the Morris Science Temple of America, whatever nicknames you didn't add on and change into, what you know for all this, and ask you to speak the language you spoke when you was a Almack, or speak the language you spoke when you was a Wachita, or speak the language you spoke as a Tunis, you can't. And Arabic is not that old. Arabic goes back again into biblical languages. Arabic again goes back into Genesis 10. And we know that that is two verses away, or two chapters away, from the Imaginees. Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 gives you the Imaginees, and then the what they call the most eloquent writing, the Gilgamesh epic, which covers the Noah's flood, which is from the fish children. And then you got on 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you start talking about Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Akkadian, and then you got to go 11, you start talking about Chaldean, and not once to mention Arabic. But Arabic is a dialect of Ashuric. You know, but you ought to get that back too. Before, but that's a Jewish star on there. The six-pointed star ain't no Jewish star. Someone lied to you, and you lied to yourself, because you told me that David was a Muslim. You said Dawood in the Quran was a Muslim. So now Dawood is a Muslim. When you saw a brother from Ansar al-Allah with a six-pointed star and crescent on his hat, and that star is known as what? Molden? The Star of David. Then why would you tell an Ansar, why are you wearing a Jewish star? That was a confession that David was not a Muslim. Plus, nowhere in the books of the Old Testament does David ever refer to himself as a Muslim. Now you say, well, Abraham named you Muslim. That's Quranic again. That came up between the year 610 and 631 because Muhammad died in 632. You cannot go to a new book and tell me about old things unless you tell me this book is an old book being retranslated. But you're not saying that about the Quran. You're saying it's a final revelation. Something revealed for the first time. When 99% of it is obviously not the first time here. Everything from prayer, walking, talking, eating, sacrificing, circumcision, and everything else was taken out the Torah. But because you claim that it wasn't, and if this is a revelation to Muhammad from cover to cover, and you put yourself in a bad way. Because you got to then show me, not in the Quran, show me in the Tanakh, in the Torah, where Abraham called himself a Muslim. Show me in the Torah where Moses called himself a Muslim. And if you say, well, shalom is the same as salam, then why did God create salam if shalom already existed? Shalom alaikum was good enough. And I'll talk to anybody about that one session. But they didn't even know this. I'm tired of hearing it. What does assalamu alaikum mean? What does it mean? The word alay means what? On. Alaykum means on you all. Alay is not through you. It's not in you. It's on you the way that Fabush or that Tahir or that Imma is on your head. This ain't close. But it's simple. But it was tricky. Some demon got it in this again. Understand? If I say to you, salam, peace, alaykum, I'm saying peace on you. I'm not wishing you peace. I'm not saying peace through you. The peace does not feel disgusted in your heart. Resistance is not in your body. The rock is not in your head. It's out of the body. Out of it. On the body. So when Muslims greet each other, it's a subtle trick. That's why I got shalom out of it. But Rahu back in. Because I tell you, assalamu alaikum. The peace be all on you. You don't need peace on you. You need to be in a peaceful state. Wa alaikum salam. And on you peace. Or ma salam. With you peace. With, like, with ma in Arabic. It's not with, like, in your character. That's anger. That's with, like, to accompany you somewhere. May peace walk beside you. Maybe that's why so many of y'all get hit by a car. Because you get hit and the peace gets away. From the window. In 1400 years. How come nobody in all Islam has ever said, you know, assalamu alaikum does not really mean anything. It's to help you. Just make peace be on you, on top of you. Like I put a glass on a cover piece of table. I put a book on a desk out of Mecca. Is that real? And I put the print on the book, it would only be on a cover. So you could, if you say, I love the Quran, the truth is on the Quran, you would not be saying the Quran has any truth. All right? Now if you read the Baqarah again, the first couple of verses, you're going to see that Allah will be in. A seal on their heart, but they translated it in. Deception, height. Everybody knew we were coming.
Right.
Nobody knew when. Everybody knew this day and time was coming. They were calculating and we were calculating. And we're the best calculators. Because we have worked it out. Because, but that is not no Moorish flag. That is a Moroccan flag. Unless the Moors they're talking about are more than all under the government of Morocco after the 17th century when that flag got there. And when Dus Ali, Position, no Ujua Ali. No Ali was not using a Moroccan flag. Because also Marcus Moses Garvey was also taught by Jus Ali. And Marcus Moses Garvey introduced a red, black, and green, which was originally black, red, and green. The flag as found in the Sudan, the flag of the Mahdiya, with a spear and a crescent. That was the flag, black, red, and green. And all of your revolutionaries throughout America, by whatever group or sect, are popping up the Mahdi flag. And don't even know. They got all these, black ones, you know, these red, black, and green flags, all of this snapped off. The spear and crescent would symbolize the warriors of the Hadjit Dawah tribe that came down from the north to defend Sudan from Lower East Ashley, or the Mahdi, was from the Hadjit Dawah of the Nile, a place. That was a place. So if I'm called Dongalawe, that's a name after a place. If I'm called Nubian, I'm named after a place. But what am I by race? More. What is my nationality? More. If you're going to be anything, you're going to be African American, you're Moorish American. He said that that's all right, but they got to separate that doggone Islam from it. Because we go back before Islam. All the pharaohs were Moors. And if you go to Europe and you read in any of their books in Latin, the Bible, don't let them, we got to stop letting them call Moorish brothers Latinos who's not speaking Latin. We got to get away from that too. Got another one in Roman ship. Like Nega and Negro, which I showed y'all in the Bible. The Greeks were calling us Negroes. If all that, the Romans were calling us Morenos. Jesus was called Morenos. You know that in most Latino families? Because the mind had been a mess with, the parents would tell them, don't be no lazy Moreno.
That's right, I'm your telling.
They ain't no different than your mother saying, don't go hang out with them low life niggas. The same principle. But somewhere along the line, they made more synonymous with low life. So we gotta reinstate that. But we gotta make it clear to the modern science temple, we are your brothers. But only as far as the truth.